Today, Saturday the 10th of September 2022, we are all joining for the program of Mindfulness for Beginners. Joining us today from Nisvanavanaya is Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero. I would like to welcome Bhante with my utmost respect, and also everyone joining from Zoom and the other media, I would like to welcome all of you to the program. The program is structured today into three segments. The first segment of the program today is to practice mindfulness under the guidance of Bhante. Secondly, we hope to present reflection reports and also the reports of your mindfulness practice. If the time permits, we will spare some time for you to present your, if you have any verbal questions, we have time for that as well. Finally, we have the opportunity to listen some a Dhamma talk from Bhante, which benefits our practice. So let's move into the first segment of the program, which is practicing mindfulness under the guidance of Bhante. Over to you, Bhante. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. So as the initial part, we'll spend some time doing mindful practice. So today I thought we can do a walking session. We haven't done a walking session for a few weeks. So we'll do a walking session today. For this, you have to find some space, probably 10 to 15 feet, where you can walk back and forth. Once you have that space cleared, you can start walking. You start in a normal rhythm and try to be aware. This awareness is what we are practicing. We walk naturally and we try to be aware. We try to be mindful that we are walking. So initially you might not notice anything, but with time, when you pay attention again and again, you realize that you are walking, and probably you'll feel your walking body. Maybe it's a cement floor, maybe it's wooden floor, or sometimes it's a carpet. So you feel the texture of the floor, then you feel how the weight is shifting from one leg to the other. You feel which parts of your feet is touching the ground. Maybe it's a heel that's touching first. Maybe it's the toes that are touching. So you may notice these details. Again and again, you walk comfortably while paying attention. Time to time, various things may come into your mind. Your attention will go to sounds from surrounding area, or you will see things and start storytelling based on them. Time to time, you feel thoughts coming into your mind. So these things are natural. Again and again, you walk in a mindful manner and try to be aware. When you are listening to sounds, be aware that you are listening. When you are thinking, be aware that you are thinking. When you storytell, be aware that you are storytelling. Again and again, with that awareness, you can return to the walking body. That is what we are practicing. The mind will go away. It will wander. But you try to be aware and bring it back. Again and again, we try to be mindful that we are walking. So that we are going to practice probably 10 to 15 minutes. We will walk in a comfortable manner and try to be aware what we can feel when we are walking, what are the things that we feel, the texture of the ground, these things we are noticing. Again and again, we walk in a comfortable manner and we try to observe, we try to pay attention. So as a group, let's try to practice for 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, now you can return back to your seats. So that's about 10 to 15 minutes of mindful walking. This is just to give you an idea. So our invitation is that you can practice this on your own. Every day, try to spend some time doing a walking session. And even during your day, maybe daily you walk kilometers. For your activities, you walk kilometers per day. So while walking, you can pay attention, be aware that you are walking. Try to do a mindful walking in between your activities. So that's the idea. The invitation is for you to practice on your own. And then you can share your experience with us. Nadeep, I think we can move forward.
Thank you very much for that, Bhante. Valuable information for improvements in terms of our mindfulness. The next segment of today's program is to present our mindfulness reports that we have received. I would like to invite Anupama to present the reports we have received today. Over to you, Anupama. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadeep. Avasarai Bhante. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, very well.
Okay. Thanks. So we have received three reports today, and I will start with report number one. As the body was ill and was in bed last week, there was no formal practice of sitting or walking to share, although attempts were made to sit quietly. It didn't last more than a few minutes and lied down. As the practice of noting feelings, Vedananupassana, was started in the recent months, the mind had the intention of practicing that. Mindfulness during the day. Last week was a good test for the mind, to see if it could note what was going on in the mind while being ill and lying in bed. Having taken sick leave from work to rest and recuperate, initially there was mental relief about freedom from scheduled work for the next few days. Then tried reading a few books, but gave up after many attempts as the headache and fever would stop the concentration. Then started listening to Dhamma talks in bed and couldn't continue with that too, as the mind had become dull pretty soon and the body had fallen asleep from time to time. Then the mind became aware of that feeling of bodily pain, which was more prominent and increasing bodily feelings instead. During the body scan, high heat of the torso and face noted, pulsating pressure in the head noted, and also the rigidity in the limbs noted. The body wanted to fall asleep, but the mind kept returning to the bodily sensations and connected feelings. While the attention was looking for the middle point of headache, it started to pulsate and disappeared from that point and arose in another part of the forehead. No matter how many attempts were used to isolate the highest pain point, it wasn't possible because it simply vanished from that point and reappeared somewhere else again. There now seems to be a very small gap between the arising, passing, and re-arising of the pain points. Throbbing sensation in the head increased overall. Daily mindfulness of the past weeks and months had allowed the mind to not react and to watch this hide and seek of pain points. Next realization was that rigidity in the limbs or the uncomfortable feeling of fever in the body were not picked up by the mind while watching the pain arising and passing away in the forehead. Even as recent as a year ago, this illness would have resulted in taking painkillers at intervals, complaining about how sick the body was, and therefore adding so much more suffering to the situation. Instead, mind was returning to a calm place much more often during last week. Notice the bodily feelings without battling with it. After 4 days in bed and having noticed the feelings whenever possible, the body's recovery is apparent, although it will still need a couple more days of rest. Venerable Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and to the organizing team.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. You can see when your body falls ill, you can really see this struggle, right? Now it's nature's way of suggesting a break. So if you take some painkillers and go to work, that's not the way, because nature is suggesting a break. So you have to take a sick day or two and try to relax. That's how you have to accept this illness that has come. Right? Then when you take a break, initially you are happy that you can stay away from work for a few days. You're happy initially, but after a while you see that you have nothing to do. Now you start reading books, listening to talks. It's not gonna work because your body is sick. Right? So we see sickness as a bad thing. But when it comes, we see the reality of our body and mind, how poor the reality is. We always want to do something, We can't accept this reality. There's a friction, difficulty, of course, pain is there. But if you can accept this reality, if you can accept that this body is sick, then that's the best healing way. That's the best medicine you can give your illness. Now, when you observe your body, you have to observe again and again and see, is the mind sick? Body, of course, sick. You can feel that. Is the mind sick? Is the mind hurting? If you do that observation, you can feel, you can realize that mind is not sick, but it is creating more and more difficulty over the pain and aches in your body. So of course your body falls ill, but your mind is okay. Through practice only you can realize that. Otherwise, even mind falls even further down. So that's why we call pain and suffering. Pain comes to your body, but suffering is created out of the mind. So you start worrying, taking medicine, going various meeting probably doctors. So these things you do because there's suffering in your mind. You don't accept this difficulty, illness. Instead, you try to fight it. So the best way to heal is acceptance. If you can accept that your body is sick, if you can accept that you have to slow down for a few days, then that's the best method of healing. And you can do this observation. You see, a lot of details are there. Right? Body aches, pains, high temperature, fever, those things are there. So you can do the observation. I'm not saying it's easy, it's difficult, especially when you fall sick. It's difficult to observe, troubling to observe. But that's the only thing you have to do because you are sick now. You can't read books. You can't listen to Dhamma talks. You have to accept this reality, which is difficult. It's a good test. When you fall sick, you can really observe the reality of your mind and body. And when you do that observation, you realize that suffering part is reducing. Pain is there. You can't get rid of that. But the suffering in your mind will reduce. The suffering part is basically trying to get rid of this illness. That is the suffering part, right? So when you do the observation, you can see that it is reducing. Your mind is healthy. Although your body is sick, your mind is healthy. You just have to do that observation, do that practicing part. then you realize you can manage. You can manage. And you mentioned that earlier, compared to earlier situations, this is much better. You handled much better because of the practice. So that's a very good sign. And actually, when you fall ill, it's a test. You can really see how you can accept this reality of body and mind, how difficult it is. So this is the very practice we are trying to do again and again. Although with difficulty, we try to do this observation. When you do this observation, pain is there, but the suffering part will reduce. That's the peace that you feel. Although the body is sick, you feel calm and peacefulness in your mind. That's because there's no suffering, right? So you have to do this again and again. And when you do this, you realize it is even improving. With time, with practice, you can feel more and more space in between these difficulties. You can feel more and more calm in your mind. So that's the way of progressing. All these observations are good. Finally, you came to the real matter. You tried reading books. You tried listening to Dhamma talks. Finally, you came to the real task, which is observing your mind and body. So it says that there's only one book worth reading, the book of your mind. One Dhamma talk worth listening, that's the talk of this body and mind. So finally, you came to that. So we are happy about it. I know it's difficult. When you are healthy, you have 1,000 things to do, right? And you can do them. But when you are sick, you can't do anything. You need only one thing, that's becoming healthy again. So at those occasions, it is really difficult to do the observation. But it's a test. As you can see, now you are sick. You can read the books. You can't listen to talks. You can't watch movies. You are sick. You can't accept that. Right? Now only the remaining part is practicing, being aware, observing your mind and body. As soon as you get better, you can read books. You start listening to things. You watch movies. So again, the ignorance increases. So in a way, this is an opportunity. When you fall ill, this is an opportunity to practice. You can do this. This is the practice. You started saying that you couldn't do the walking and sitting. But this is the very practice. This is the very meditation that we are talking. So you have done that. So continue like this and you can share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. Yes, very insightful. Thank you to the person who wrote the report as well. It's lots of good points in there for us also to apply when we fall ill. I'll move on to report number 2. We'll start off with walking meditation. Primary object. Watching movements and sensations of feet. First stood still on carpeted floor, wearing socks. Noting body was upright, with weight distribution on feet. More on one than the other. Hands behind back, one holding the other wrist. Walked backwards, noting sensations on feet. The first step was taken, lifting of heel, moving foot back, and placing of toes first, and then the midfoot, and then the heel last. All the next steps were noted to have the toes lifting first, bending knee and hip, straightening of leg, placing of toes first, followed by the rest of the foot. Turning was done with heel lifted first, and placing also with heel first. Noted temperature on the toes. Pressure on the toes. Movement of muscles when foot balancing. And slight pain on one of the anchors, which only appeared and passed very quickly. Observe slight increase in temperature and electric shock-like movements when pain appeared. Mind not distracting by sights or sounds. Thoughts arose how to not hit the door or wall and kept eyes on post in front and noted where to stop. Walked 40 steps and then in last half hour did it with eyes closed. Occasionally opening them to ensure walking relatively straight. Walked for 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Sat to watch breath after the session of walking meditation. Aware breath breaking up very quickly. The in and out breaths being of equal lengths. Very calm feeling. Mind alert. Not sleeping. But unable to recall any objects that came to the mind. Did not want to come out of meditation. Twice adjusted posture mindfully as body kept leaning onto one side. No distractions. Body felt light. With much gratitude for the guidance and to the organizers. End of report 2.
Okay. You can say walking or sitting. What we are doing is that we do it and we observe mindfully. So when you observe, you feel bodily sensations and you continue that observation, right? So this is a report based on that observation. So if there is a new person here, you just walk in a comfortable manner, sit in a comfortable manner. While walking, we recommend you to keep your eyes open. While sitting, you can keep your eyes closed. And be aware. Be aware that your body is walking. Be aware that your body is sitting. This observation we are doing. And when we do that, we can feel these bodily sensations are there. Various sensations are there. So this is an indicator that we take in the practice. It could be breath. It could be the sensations of your feet. We take it and we observe again and again. We observe. When you observe, you realize after a while, the sensations become less and less prominent. Instead, there is some kind of a peace, some kind of a calmness in your mind. And sometimes you are unable to recall anything, but you are sure that you were there. You are sure that you are mindful. And you can feel this peace inside your mind. You can feel that it's not based on anything. Instead, this peace arises from lack of things. Usually, when we go to outside world, when we achieve certain things, when we think about material things, we are happy, we are peaceful when we attain them, when we gather them. So you get a new car, you are happy for a few weeks. That's how it goes. That happiness is dependent on something, something in the outside world. And when you call outside world, it's the change that's there. So when that thing is changing, you suffer because your happiness was based on something. But the real peace, real happiness is not based on anything. It arises from lack of things. It arises from your gut. It arises from the emptiness. It arises from the space between your in-breath and out-breath. That peace is lasting. You can feel you were sitting for a few minutes, probably half an hour. You are peaceful, but you are not able to recall anything. And you even don't want to get out of that meditation. Instead, you adjust your posture, stay long and longer. So that's a real kind of a peace that we are talking about, a lasting kind of a peace in mind. So this is one sitting session, right? So you are explaining a sitting session that you did. But this is also explaining the entire practice. When you do this repetitively, this is how your mind will change. Initially, you have a lot of thoughts. You have a lot of friction in your mind. Within 45 minutes, 1 hour, you feel that that friction is vanishing. That friction is reducing little by little. Same thing will happen eventually when you continue with your practice. Within few months, within few years, you can realize that when I started, this was my friction. Now it is much less. Now I am doing the same task, same problems are there. But still, I feel much more calm and peaceful in my mind. So you can say one sitting session, but you can say it is the practice, very practice that you start. You have a lot of friction, a lot of thoughts, a lot of difficulties. With time, those things are reducing. Only some kind of lasting peace will remain. So same thing will happen in your life as well. When you do this practice again and again, probably after a few years, you realize now I am more calm and peaceful. The problems are there. I go to work. I do these things. I do things for my family. But still, in my mind, I am not suffering so much. In my mind, I am peaceful. I am calm. In my mind, I don't grab onto things so much. In my mind, I live in this moment. That's why you are saying you are unable to recall something that happened. Because if you really live in the moment, you are not able to retain it. You are not able to recall anything later. You have to have the thinking mind. You have to go to the future, go to the past in order to retain memory. So that's why you go to a concert, you hold your phone, you record it, right? You are not enjoying the show. Instead, you are recording it on your device. Then you go home, you publish it on your Facebook profile or somewhere. So that's the life that we are talking about, right? You are not enjoying the present moment. You are not even enjoying the video. That's how you really miss to live this life, living this present moment. So try to do this. When you do this, you realize more I am present. I'm unable to recall things. I'm unable to remember things because I'm in the present moment and I'm fully experiencing that. It's a good thing. Some people might worry that, can I do my work like this then? Can the practice affect my education? You try and see, right? You can work much better. You can do your education much better because you're attentive, because you're aware. So that's the practice that we are talking about. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. And thank you for the report writer as well. We shall move on to report number 3, which is our final report for today. Mindful sitting, 1 hour. With a relaxed mind, started Anapanasati. Scanned the sitting posture. Noted the movements, expansion of the in-breath and the contraction of the out-breath on the chest and abdomen. Attention was moved to the nostril area where the breath was prominent. Observed arising and passing away of the in and out-breaths. In-breath was longer than the out-breath. The beginning, middle and the ends of the gaps between the in and out breaths were noted. Initial sleepiness passed away after some time. Few thoughts with inner chatter and some sensations came and went. The feeling of floating and the vibrations in the body, which occurred with the disappearance of the subtle breath, did not cause any agitation or restlessness today, as I was reassured by the Bhante's advice last week. With gratitude to Bhante and the organizing team. End of report 3.
Okay, so you can see the benefit of discussion and the benefit of repetitive practice. So that's why we are gathered here. Otherwise, you can just give the idea of mindfulness within 1 or 2 weeks, right? But when you practice, you realize more and more questions come, more and more doubts come. It's not like we are here to teach you. We do more of a discussion, right? When you do that, when you share each other's experiences, then you find the best way to practice. I can't really fix a path for you. You have to find it. You have to keep your mind open. You have to see how your practice is evolving, because the path is unique for each of us. So we have to practice and see how the practice is evolving. What is your path? You have to practice and see. That experiment we are doing. So that's why it's called a noble experiment. That we try to create peace in our mind. We try to let go of the difficulties of this world. So that's why it's called a noble experiment, that you try to create some kind of a lasting peace in your mind. Only by practicing you can do, not by anything else. You can listen to the words, you can get the idea of the mindfulness, but when you practice, the experience is totally different. Your path is totally different. Your questions, doubts are totally different. So that is why we discuss. When you discuss, you realize that by sharing this experience, you realize, okay, this is the way that I have to practice. And you go and do it. Next day, you come with a feedback like this. Only through the practice, you can realize that. So that's how we can really progress. Don't have to do this 24/7. Although you try, it is difficult. So try to spend some time daily. Let it grow naturally. Let the practice grow naturally. You can't force it. If you try to force it, it won't last for a long time. Right? So what we suggest is that you spend like 1 or 2 hours per day for the formal practice. Then during your daily activities, try to be mindful. Not always probably, but try to be mindful. Like that, continue for a few months and see for yourself. The practice will grow naturally. That is how it will grow. It's like growing a tree, growing a plant. You can't force it out, no. You can't pull it out from the ground. You have to water it, you have to fertilize it, you have to allow sunlight to fall, and naturally it will grow. Initially you go every day and check whether the plant is bigger, but that's not how it works. So after a few weeks, you give up observing and you do your own thing. Suddenly, within a few weeks, one day you realize now the plant is much bigger because the time has passed. And you have done your part. You have done the watering. You have done the fertilizing. You have given it sunlight. So that's how the practice will grow. So that is why we invite you to spend 1 or 2 hours per day for formal meditation. And during your day, during your work hours, during your home activities, try to be mindful. Probably always it's difficult, but try. And when you do that for a few months, when you have that effort for a few months, you realize that practice is naturally coming to you. Practice is naturally growing. That's how it goes. So today I was chopping wood with another monk here, and we had some wood pieces. Right? So he was asking, Bante, how do you find these wood pieces? Do you go looking for them? That was his question. Do you go looking for them in the forest? So he asked. So I told him, initial few years, I spent looking. right? I was looking, I was searching for the logs. Now they are coming to me. So that was my answer. Initially, you have to search. Initially, you have to go looking for the pieces, wood pieces in the forest. It is difficult. But you do it for a few years, then you realize now the wood pieces are coming to me. You don't have to go looking. So that's how it goes. That's how the practice will grow. So repetitive practice is what matters. So we invite all of you to contribute like that, all of you to invest like that, and you can see for yourself. You don't have to believe somebody else's words. Instead, you can see for yourself. So that's the invitation.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you to all the report writers. Very valuable information there and advice for our day-to-day practice. We now move on to the next segment, which is our Q&A session. If anyone in the audience has a question to ask or a statement to make, an observation or anything, please do raise your Zoom hand and we will invite you to unmute. Pandula, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask a question, please, or any statement.
Thank you, Anupama. Avasarai Bhante. I have a little question, actually. It's not merely a question, what I did last week, Bhante. I just put extra effort to observe thoughts because usually I'm a person, I used to react to thoughts soon it comes. So what I did, I just write down what sort of thoughts going on in my mind, like a daily basis. So what I noticed at the beginning, so giving a little more time to inner chatter, so let it complete its inner chatter, it was a little bit helpful rather to stop it or avoid it. So few observations I made. Some thoughts I noticed, they were just simply comes and go. They are easy to watch, and it's like very similar to breathing. So it comes and goes, and I notice sometimes the thought vanishes and it makes a subtle happiness. And there were occasions there were heavy thoughts comes in, and while I do the walking sometimes or during the day, so it tried to catch my attention, and so if I closely watch it, I try to closely watch, so I found it there was a hidden displeasure or liking some events, and it's like there's some message underneath message. So when I try to let go this liking, so it helped to see the thoughts and sometimes the space around the thoughts. So mostly the thoughts arise. The other thing I noticed, it comes at the end of the walking track. Or sometimes when I change the postures from one to another, so it just creep into the mind. And it was possible to bring awareness sometimes while the thought process goes on, so you can see the walking sensations. So sometimes the it comes naturally. Even you are thinking or your mind drift away, it's easy to, it comes naturally to your, to the foot. So there were occasions I lost the balance totally as well. So the latter part of the week, the other thing I noticed, so my interest for this, the stray thoughts was reduced, and And I try to use the reflection. It's the thoughts are not me, or it's not mine, or it's not my soul. So that also give a less attention to the thoughts. So in general, if I felt if I catch the thoughts early, it has a less impact and it comes and ends as nothing has happened. So that's my little, they say, about the thoughts. Thank you, Bhante. I appreciate your valuable advice. Much merits to you. Thank you.
So yesterday somebody was saying that during his meditation that he felt that the mind calmed down and it became peaceful. But suddenly he realized that thoughts and probably like past memories, inner chatter, these things started to come. So he was saying, he was in a way complaining that I purified my mind. Now it is again polluted. So that was his complaint. This is within a sensation that he is complaining, right? So he thought that initial calm, initial purification was there. Then it got polluted due to thoughts, inner chatter, and various probably like mental images. But you have to understand, it's not a linear process. It's not going like that. Instead, it will calm down. Again, thoughts arise. Again, inner chatter arises. These things come. You have to allow it to happen, right? It's more like a healing process that is happening. So various thoughts from various mental images, probably like past incidents that you suffered a lot, these things may come. And sometimes you feel like you are re-experiencing the same incident in a meditation setup session. You become really fearful. You sweat. You feel like you are reliving that past memory. But it's a healing process that is happening. If you don't allow this to happen, then one day probably like you'll have a breakdown, or probably you'll get a cancer or something, some illness. So that's how it works. So in this practice, you are healing yourself. It's a healing process that is happening. We have to allow that process to happen. You shouldn't force it. You shouldn't stop it. Instead, you have to allow this natural healing. And if you allow, probably within some time, within few weeks, within few months of practice, you realize now I feel much better because this healing process happened. It has happened and now I feel much better. That is how the peace will arise. You can't really expect it to arise and not go away again. It's not how it works. It's not linear. Instead, like it's going again and again. It's like a spiral. That's how it goes. It's getting closer and closer to the center. That's how it works. Going deeper and deeper, that's how it works. So you have to allow that to happen. Let's say lust. For some people, lust is the problem. Lustful thoughts, images, memories, those things come. Right? So initially, it's like, it's really difficult to handle. Sometimes throughout the entire sitting session, it's only lust that's there. Like the first one or two waves of a tsunami, right? It's huge, like you can feel that 50 meters high. But with time, you realize if you lasted, if you survived those initial waves, then the following ones are not that scary. Following ones are not that difficult. They reduce in power, they reduce in energy. Only thing is that you have to survive those few waves, right? If you survive only, you will see that it is not so bad now. If you don't survive, so if you stop it happening, then it's a problem. So that's why initially it is difficult. Initially these memories come so strongly. You feel like you are reliving that past incident. You feel so fearful. You sweat. So you have to go through that experience. You have to allow that experience to happen. You have to let it settle down. Next day, next week, also it comes, but not so intense. After 1 month also it comes, but not so intense. After 1 year also it's there, but it's just another thought process. You don't even recognize it. So that is how it goes. So you have to allow this natural healing to happen and just be with that. You don't have to put extra pause observing even. If you try to do something, that's the problem. If you try to put pause, that's the problem. So be with that experience. Live that experience. That's the practice. You are there experiencing those thoughts, inner chatter, mental images. That's all you have to do. And when you do that, when you allow that, within few weeks, few months, few years, you realize now it is much more less intense. Still the thought processes are there, but I am not suffering from them. They are not so troubling. So that's how it goes. So continue and you can experience for yourself.
Bande, just a little clarification. As you said, so it's not like you're not doing sort of like an empty process, say like let it finish, but you have to see, face the thoughts, process and let it evolve and it tells its story. Then, so other thing what I would ask, Bante, what do you think about that reflection? So it said, it's not me, it's not mine, because I found at one stage it was quite useful for, it's not like a heavy thought, but some little ones, like a recurring thoughts. So because it doesn't, just telling that, it doesn't grab your attention at all.
Yeah, it's like this now. If you think, if you feel that it's useful, you can use, right? So that's open for you. But remember, it's just a tool that you are using, right? It's just a tool. And with time, you have to let go of that tool as well. So if you feel it is helping, you can use it. That's not a problem. And as you mentioned, this repetitive experience, you will see how it is helping you, how it is reducing, how the power or the energy of thoughts are reducing. Only with time you can see that, not within a single sitting session, but years and years of practice you will see, months and months of practice you will see. So it's like running a marathon, right? Some people, they do the first round very well and they stop. That's not how it goes, right? It's a 10K marathon that you have to run, not just the first round. So that is the practice. Of course, run the first round, run it well, but you have to remember, you have to continue. It's a 10K marathon that we are doing. That is what the practice is. That is how you can attain lasting peace. Otherwise, if it is so easy, then you can go and buy it somewhere, right? You go to the shop, you take a shot, and you know, you are peaceful. That's not how it works. Although some people try with drugs, it is only temporary, only lasting few hours. And next time you need a higher dose, right? So try to continue and you can experience for yourself.
Thank you very much, Mante.
Thank you, Bante. Thank you, Bandura, for that. We do have another hand up from Hiranti. If you would like to unmute yourself and speak, please.
Hi. Just to clarify something of the previous question, Bante, isn't it helpful to think of the thought as a thought and then, come to mindfulness?
Yes, your idea is valid. It depends on your practice, right? So you can't really give a fixed answer. That's why I told him it's tool, right? You can use it. But one day you have to let go. So this practice is evolving. You can't really fix a method. If I fix a method, then I am mistaken, right? So initially there are tools. Initially you can say thoughts and you return to your body. That is also recommended. That is also recommended. We ask you to observe your body. We ask you to let go of the thoughts and come back to your body, breath more and more. So that's the initial part of the practice, right? So when you share your experience, when you share your sitting walking, you can really see what is the status of this practice. Whether it's the whether it's a beginner, whether it's a like experienced yogi. So it depends. So that's why we invite you to share your report. So according to your idea, this is also valid. Yes, be mindful that thoughts are there. Then return to your body. That's a valid way, but it depends. It depends on the level of your practice. So that is why we invite all of you to share your experience, share it as walking, sitting. And based on that, we can give more and more recommendations.
Let me come to my own question. I worry when I have to go out, especially if I have to park the car. It keeps on repeating in my mind, oh, will I get a parking space? And then it keeps on coming. But sometimes I just say, let me see. Once I'm there, I'll deal with it. And I give an answer and try to keep quiet and get on with life. But it keeps on coming. Is it? It's just a worry, isn't it? Which is coming. And I feel that it's not really helping me in being mindful.
Yeah, tomorrow I have to go out. So I am also worried a little bit. Not about the parking, but about going out to a crowd, right? You live in a forest. Sometimes you are reluctant to go out. So that's how it works, you know. Those worries, doubts, questions, various things are there. So various people, they have various problems, unique problems they have. You can't really say that it's not a valid problem. Why you worry on it so much? You can't really say. Because it's so real to that very person. Right? So probably about parking, probably about family members, whether something happened to them. Those worries are there. Then doubts are there. So the only solution, I'll tell you the solution. I'll tell you a way to get rid of these worries. You have to spend some time doing a formal meditation. When we say formal meditation, next Nadeep will present a video, walking, sitting. That is the formal practice that we are recommending. And make it a part of your daily life, probably like 30, 40 minutes of formal meditation every day as a starting point. Then gradually you can increase it. 2 hours is a good level. For a lay person who is living, doing work and things, family life, 2 hours is a very good investment for formal meditation. With that formal meditation, you realize that when I started meditating, I worried so much. Now after 4 months of meditation daily, now I'm not worrying so much. Of course, in your mind, you can give an answer. You can suggest that I'll worry when I get there. I'll manage when I get there. But next time also the same thing will happen. No? So that's the foundation of your question, right? It won't go away. You can suggest answers in your mind, but next time also the same thing happens. Usually you are worrying more than the actual experience. That is the suffering part in mind that we are talking about. Pain is there. Difficulties come. Friction come. Right? But suffering is much stronger. Extreme traders, they are called. They worry more than the actual experience. Actual experience is much easier to manage than this worrying part. So this is the unmindful mind. This is the ignorance in your mind. This is what we are trying to get rid of. Right? This suffering part. Pain you can't do. Outside world you can't change. People will die. You can't change that. Friction will be there. You can't change that. Only the suffering part in your mind that you can get rid of. So that you can reduce with practice. You realize that I used to worry so much. Now I am not so much worrying. Still the worrying thoughts are there. Still that process is there. Now I am not suffering so much because of my practice. Few months of continual practice, you can see that you are improving. So that's the answer that I want to give. Otherwise, you can suggest that I'll get managed when I get there. Next time also the same thing will happen. Right. So try to watch those two videos. Try to practice for during the coming week. And if you can present your experience next time, you can discuss further.
Thank you, Vante. Thank you, Viron Sanai.
Thank you, Vante and Hiranti, for that. I think, yes, we have another hand up by Hema Mali. Vante, may I go ahead and ask her to unmute herself?
Yeah, that's fine. We'll take a few more minutes.
Sure. Okay. Hema Mali, please unmute yourself and speak. Thank you.
Bhante, Avasarai Swami answer. What do you mean by 2 hours meditation? Is it continuously 2 hours? Or can you please explain, Bhante?
Yes, now walking and sitting, we are recommending two ways of practice, right? And actually only single thing we are practicing mindfulness, awareness. But we are recommending you to do it as a formal practice. So I was talking about running a marathon earlier. So you have to go to a gym. You have to exercise. So formal practice is more like going to a gym, exercising for 1 or 2 hours. Then you go to the ground, you run. You realize I can only run like few meters. Then I get tired. Again, you go to the gym. Again, next day also you practice. Again, you go to the ground. That is how it works. Within few months, within probably like 5-6 months, you realize now I can run few kilometers. Still not enough, right? You are trying to run a 10K marathon, right? Still not enough. So after a few years of practice, you realize now I can run 10 kilometers without getting a heart attack, right? Without dropping dead, I can do it. So that's how it goes, right? So the formal practice is more like going to a gym every day or a few hours, not the entire day. We are not recommending that. So do it as walking, sitting. That's what we recommend, right? Walking and sitting meditation. If you are not used to it, start with 15 minutes. 15 minutes sitting as a habit in the morning, every day. You start with a sitting session. Before you fall asleep, do a walking session. You don't have to do 2 hours at once. That's not necessary. Probably early morning you do the sitting. Before bed you do the walking session. That's fine. Right? Then if you increase 1 minute per day, within 2 weeks you add 30 minutes. Right? Within 1 month you add 1 hour. That's how it goes. Right? So that's how you can increase little by little. So if you can make it 1 hour of sitting, 1 hour of walking, that's a really good level for a person who is doing a job, maintaining a family. So it's a good level. So that's what I meant by 2 hours of practice, a walking session and a sitting session. And during the day also you can practice. That's day-to-day mindfulness. You can try and see. Not always you can do, but time to time you remind yourself, okay, I'm drinking a cup of tea. I'm eating something. I am taking a bath. Like that, you can be mindful time to time. So I hope you got the idea.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Hema Mali. I think that is the end of the Q&A session, and we are ready to move on to our next segment. Nadeep, over to you.
Thank you, Anupama, and thank you very much, Bhante, for the valuable and very important advices and guidance, and also everyone who presented their reports and sharing their experiences with all participants. And thank you very much. So the next segment is to present the Mindfulness for Beginners guide. I'm going to share my screen. Yeah. We have, with the assistance of the Bhante, developed two videos for beginners, one for mindful walking and the other one is for mindful sitting. Just to start with, have a good look at those two videos and get the basics of that. Of course, watching videos is not enough. Most important thing is to put into practice. To start with, maybe 5 minutes of mindful walking, 5 minutes of mindful sitting would be enough. And also the consistency. Do it daily and also increase it gradually. Like say, for example, today 5 minutes and maybe 6 minutes next day or 10 minutes. You can double it up. After a week of practice and maybe altogether 2 hours of practice, maybe 3 hours after a week, you can share your practice and also the experiences with the Bhante, and you can write it back to us. So during the program, we're going to present it to the Bhante and you can get even more advices from the Bhante. And also what is important is sharing your experiences and also how you write the report. To start with, maybe it is advised to start with mindful walking. It is a good warm-up for your mindful subsequent sitting, mindful sitting. And how would you start? Say, you talk to yourself, say, I am right now being here. And how would you feel for your toes, your the body and the outside noises, whatever. So include all those initial, what you notice initially. And also when you go to your mindful sitting, what is your primary object? Inhale, exhale, or rising and falling of your tummy. So indicate that clearly and what happened. And any distractions, any pleasurable or unpleasurable feeling, how would you get back to your primary object, which is breath or rising and falling of your tummy, and how would you react to those sensations? Clearly indicate those ones and write it back to us. This is the Google form and email. How would you, you know, send those reports to us? And also equally important, consistency and also continuation of your practice daily. All the recordings and the previous sessions are available on the Nisaramane website. And if you need further instructions and would you like to listen to those previous sessions, please follow this URL. That's all for the guidance for mindfulness for beginners. Now we move on to the next segment of the program, which is the Dhamma talk from Bhante, which helpful for our mindful practices. Over to you, Bhante. Much merits.
Okay, everybody, we'll take probably like 10-15 minutes to discuss a little bit more about the practice, right? Now, when you do your walking, when you do your sitting, if you are a beginner, if you are a newcomer, then you realize there is a thought process, there is a separate thought process thinking about how to present this experience. So that comes naturally to a beginner. So they come and complain, now I can be mindful for a few steps. Now I can observe my breath for a while. But now my mind is thinking, my mind is reflecting how to present this experience. That's how I spend most of my sitting. That's how I spend most of my walking. So that's a usual complaint that we hear, right? Because now you have started this practice, you have interest in that practice. So when you have that interest, it is natural that you will get a lot of thoughts, a lot of planning on even the practice. So that's fine. That's the initial phase of a practice. So we recommend you to continue. We recommend you to present your experience again and again. Put it into words, present it, and get advisors. Then again, you go and practice. When you do for a few weeks, few months, then you realize there's not much worrying about how to present this experience. This presenting one's meditation experience is very important, because based on your report, based on your report of formal meditation, formal walking, formal sitting, we can really say the level of your practice. It's the words that are talking. It's the sentences that are talking. It's the approach that will tell us the message. Right? So presenting your experience is equally important. Equally important to the practice. Because if you are not presenting, we don't know what you are doing during the walking and sitting hours. You can sit, you can walk, but that doesn't guarantee that you are meditating. Right? So you have to make sure that you are doing it effectively. That effectiveness counts. It's not the number of hours. You can't really say that. Instead, it's that effectiveness of your practice. So by sharing that experience, we make sure that we are doing it in a right way. We are practicing in a right way. And when you have that type of attitude, next time when you go for your walking, next time when you go for your sitting, you are ready for that. You know what to look. You know how to maintain your mindfulness. So that's why presenting one's report is very much valuable. There we can see how you have tried it. There we can see what you are doing during these formal meditating hours. Once that is corrected, once the reporting is corrected, next time when you go for walking, you know exactly what to do. Next time when you go for sitting, you know exactly what to do. Now, yesterday also, a person was asking, now today is my final day, one day I am going home, can you recommend a meditation for me? When I go back home, how should I do my meditation? He's asking. So I told him, you have spent 5 days here. You don't have the slightest idea. What are we practicing? I asked him. Then he is saying, we are doing this type of concentrating on a single object kind of a practice. And he's going around and around. So simple. It's not a difficult thing. We are practicing mindfulness. We are practicing awareness. It could be while walking. It could be while sitting. It could be while your day-to-day activities. And if you are practicing during the walking, you may feel that your body is walking. If you are practicing during a sitting session, you may feel that your body is breathing. If you are practicing during your day-to-day activities, you may feel that you are holding things with your hand, or you are eating something, you are drinking something. Those details are there. It's not the object of mindfulness. It's the practice of mindfulness that we are doing. Objects may vary. For a beginner, we recommend that you pay attention to a bodily sensation. You keep observing that bodily sensation and tell us how you manage to maintain your mindfulness. Bodily sensations might also vary. Especially during the walking, you can feel left leg, right leg, temperature of the ground, texture of the ground, various things are there. So that's fine. You do your observation. You come back and you report it. You share your experience. When you share that experience, we exactly know what you are doing during those hours. Whether you are practicing correctly. So that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Probably like few months of reporting, you can refine your practice to a very good level. And that's how it goes. Few days ago, a person, he was explaining about his meditation, walking and sitting experience. And he was telling, Bhante, I could feel that something is there. Some change is there, but I can't still catch it. But I know for a fact that there's some change here. So he's probably talking about the breath. He's probably talking about the steps that he feels. He's saying that there is some kind of a change, but he can't catch it. So that observation is a very good one. Because now he knows. Now he knows that change is there. Change is there. But still the mind is not sharp enough. That's fine. That's fine. You do your practice again and again. You have that idea, okay, something is there, I need to catch it. I have to practice again and again. When you practice again and again, your mind will become more and more sharpened. And you can see how the breath is changing. You can see how the bodily sensations are changing. You can see how the steps are changing. That change, you can catch. And when you start to see that change, you realize that it is so rapid. There are no two similar breaths. No two steps are similar. It is changing so rapidly. So that's the reality of this world. You think that this is my mother. You think that this is my daughter. You reflect. But next time when you see them, are they the same? You see outside. You think, ah, this is this my house. This is my car. You think they are permanent. They are solid objects. But always underneath, beneath the surface, there's a rapid change that's happening. That's why it is said that you can't jump into the same river twice. One may say that river is flowing, so the water is changing. That's why. But how about the person that's jumping? Is he the same? So that much of a rapid change is there. That is what we call the world. Change, that's all. It is changing so rapidly. So if your mind is not sharp enough, if you have so much ignorance, you will see this as a permanent thing. You will see this as a solid object. When you see a fire from a distance, a bushfire from a distance, you feel it as a solid object. Right, there's this huge kind of a red color object is there, but you get closer and closer, you realize, you sharpen your observation, you realize this is something that is changing so rapidly. Because of my ignorance, I thought it as a single object from a distance. Closer and closer you get, you realize it is changing so rapidly. That's what the world is. That's what your body is. That's how your mind is. That's how all the surrounding things, people are rapidly changing. And that change, you start to realize, you start to notice, initially in your practice, initially in the formal practice. With time, even in your day-to-day life, you realize how various things are changing so rapidly. One moment you're happy, next moment you're sad. Probably like happiness only will last like 15 minutes maximum, then something else will come. So who are you? Are you the person that is happy? Are you the person that is sad? Who are you? Then other people also, one day they praise you, next day they come and blame you. Today you are pleased about something, tomorrow you are worried about something. The same thing, today you are pleased, tomorrow you are worried. So this is the changing world. And when you start to notice that change, you realize it is changing so rapidly. No two similar breaths are there. No two similar steps are there. That's changing so rapidly. And with your practice, you realize when you start to see this change more and more, you realize one day you're at a point that you were walking for 1 hour. You were sitting for 1 hour, but you can't really mention, recall anything. There is nothing to report. Why? Because after seeing this change, your mind is not interested in that process anymore. This interest will arise in your mind. And that's how you feel it. You feel that you were walking for 1 hour. You feel that you were sitting for 1 hour. But there's nothing to report. Nothing to report. The experience was there. But later, you can't really put it into words. So that's also an evolution in your reporting. Initially, a beginner will report so many pages. They will tell a lot of in detail things about their walking and sitting. More and more you practice, you realize shorter and shorter the reports are. And one day you come and say that I was sitting for 1 hour, I was walking for 1 hour, but I am unable to recall. So that's a very good sign that your mind is not interested in this changing process anymore. This interest is there in your mind. The peace, the real peace, the lasting peace will arise from that. The lasting peace will arise from the gap between two breaths. It will arise from your gut. It will arise from the space in between thoughts, not from the thoughts, not from the memories, instead the space in between. It will arise from the sound of silence, not from beautiful classical music, not from somebody else's words, instead from the silence that's in between. So that's the lasting peace that we are talking. So that's why, that's maybe why Rumi is saying that silence is the language of gods. Silence is the language of God, and words are just a poor translation. The experience is there. That is the language of God. But when you try to put it into words, that's just a poor translation. You are trying. Trying is a good thing. But you can't really put it into words. The experience is much more deeper than the words. That's what happens when you mature in your practice. That's what happens when you let go of these worldly things. That's what happens when disinterest arises in your mind. more and more that happens in your mind, you realize more and more space there is in my mind, more and more peace is there in my mind. So our invitation is that you have to practice and find that peace in you. You can experience what we are talking for yourself. That's the value of this practice. You don't have to believe somebody else's words. You have faith, have belief, and try to practice for a few months. When you practice, you don't need that faith anymore. When you practice, you don't need that belief anymore. Because now you know. That's why there's this sensory. A student goes to meet some other teacher. So this other teacher is asking, are you believing your teacher? Maybe he's jealous, right? He's asking, are you believing your teacher? Then the student says, no, Bhante, I'm not believing. Then that other teacher was so happy because now he has found this student who isn't believing his teacher. So he was praising that student. See how straight this person is talking. He's talking directly, no nonsense, the teacher was saying. Then the student said that, of course, I'm not believing my teacher. Because when I experience for myself, I don't have to believe him anymore. I don't have to believe the teacher anymore because I experience for myself. When you experience, you know for yourself. You know how the experience is much deeper than the words. That's why silence is the God's language. Rumi is saying, silence is God's language. Words are just a poor translation. So we invite you to practice and we invite you to see this peace in your mind. We invite you to feel, we invite you to experience this peace in your mind. So with that, I will finish for today and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante. It's a very valuable information and stressing the importance of reporting our practice. With that, we are about to formally conclude the session today. Before that, I would like to pass our sincere gratitude and merits to Bhante. We spent very constructive and productive 1 hour and 30 minutes with Bhante and very good mindful sessions. So we would like to pass all the merits to Bhante and wish the development of Bhante's practice. And also, I would like to appreciate the initiative of Satipatthana, the founder and the chief abbot of Nisaranwane Monastery, Venerable Udirigama Dhammajiva Mahathero, and all the venerables residing from there. Finally, the organizers tirelessly working on to the progress of the all participants and also the continuation of this program. And thank you very much. Wish you everyone happy and mindful week. And see you next Sunday. Thank you very much. Any questions or anything? I leave it for another 30 seconds or so. No? Thank you very much. And see you everyone next Saturday. Thank you very much. Have a mindful week.